There is no satisfactory explanation as to why my great-grandparents, two squat, dour immigrants emerging from years of crippling economic depression and World War, decided to convert their general store into a toy store in the slums of Newark, New Jersey. But convert it they did. By the 1950s, their son, my pop-up, inherited that gilded lily and stayed until the city was too inhospitable for even the most toughened hide, his own. My little life mostly consisted of libraries and picnics, but when the car door unlocked in our grimy neighborhood, I was a quick study for the urban bolt. My hand was held firmly in my mother's, and my pink sneakers double-tripped in 3-4 time to keep up with her well-seasoned, purposeful strides. Newark hardened my family. Nearly everyone running the store had shot someone or almost been shot, including my mother, and it wasn't unusual for them to wake up and find a hole in the back wall which some diligent looters had carved and crawled through the night before. Impermeability was precious, necessary, and, after a few generations, innate. A favorite family story makes its rounds about my inadvertently aping my long-deceased great-grandmother, Hannah. At 5 foot nothing, Hannah was about as wide as she was tall and favored a blunt bob cut, hang straight dresses and black Oxfords. She was known for yelling at everyone who touched the merchandise, including family members if she didn't get a good look at who they were first. In fact, Hannah famously reprimanded a future daughter-in-law for lingering too long at the magazine racks. But at least Aunt Rona knew what she was getting into when she married Uncle Bernie. Every day, Hannah would sit on a stool, arms folded across her generous stomach, trailing every customer with a silent stare that plainly said, "Don't touch anything." Years later, long after her death, I'd sit on the same stool as a 3-year-old, arms folded across my kinder belly, my impassive stare meeting everyone who walked by, no greetings acknowledged or returned, just like Hannah. When I tell my friends my family had a toy store, their faces light up. When I tell them it was in Newark, a look of confusion and dismay overcomes their features. I think at that point I feel worse for them than they do for me. I had no illusion to disengage from. The store was not fun or magical or any other type of heart-jogging whimsy word I could have wanted it to be. Turning the family business into a toy store meant nothing more than swapping out the cigarettes for toy cars and lining up bikes and trikes against the rear wall. Magazines and black spinning racks were replaced by golden books and were located nearest to where I sat, which was all I cared about anyway. I stayed by my favorite toy, the broken electronic cash register on the big counter. While Pop-Up rang up all of the customers across the aisle on his ancient machine, I'd punch the plastic keys on mine until the numbers couldn't go any higher. He worked the metal shafts and levers of his register while I'd punch down random sequences on mine and watch the blue-green digital screen tick and tally like the national debt clock in Times Square. While I'm sure my sister and I would have been given anything we wanted from the stockroom and back, I had absolutely no sense of proprietary ease over the goodies lining the metal perforated shelves. The stockroom ran along the store's rear wall facing the entrance and was nothing more than two parallel walls stacked to the ceiling with toys. There was a thrilling effect of vertigo, though, to stand in the middle of the room and look up at the indices of pop candy colors to the drop ceiling. All of this chrome and cellophane psychedelia was at constant odds with the austerity of our little hole in the wall. Between the hanging fluorescent lights and the tarry odor of the black rubber flooring, the store's post-war industrial design attenuated giggles into grimaces. A permanent ozone of unease among the adults filled the store's atmosphere and pushed back against the exhaust and cigarette smoke that wafted in from the street. I spent hours, days getting used to the idea of ugly, grappling with the perverse terror caused by the cellar door, and longing for laughter and comfortable chairs. That was almost 30 years ago. I'm an adult now, I buy premium dog food with coupons, and I've quit smoking at least a few times now. But I never feel as old as I did back then, sitting behind the counter with the absurd officiousness typical of the ghetto merchant class, the heiress apparent of a century of exhausted skepticism.